world that needed hope. And I'm going to remind us, that setting was, they were in need of a savior. I mean, God's people were oppressed by many different taxations, by, you know, famines, and it was hard to find food. It was hard to be able to go about daily life. It was an absolute crazy grind, okay, for these people. And this is going back 2,000 plus years ago. They had prayed and prayed and prayed for a Savior to come. Emmanuel, God, be with us. And God answered in Jesus and came to be. Not just, though, with adding light to their world, but adding light continuously to all of our worlds. This light continues to shine. Jesus continues to offer hope by offering light in the darkness. And as we celebrate this illumination in our lives, as we live in this light, if we reflect this light actually gets a chance to bring hope to the world, to bring hope to people, even complete strangers in the world. Let's talk about some of the ways that that's happened. Just a few illustrations. You could bring me your stories of hope as well. These are just a few things that are, you know, came to me as I was putting my message together for us this morning. This next slide has to do with Lucas, the Dutch destroyer. It's a picture of him playing football. You see, he's about 9 years old here. He was a very good little football player. And Lucas was an all-star on his team in Delaware, Newark, Delaware. And he had some sport heroes. In fact, he followed Carson Banks. And that was one of his heroes. And Luke shows, as the story goes, Lucas developed a stomach cancer. And Lucas was battling with this. And at the age of 10, unfortunately, he passed away at home in his mother's arms. But before he passed away, he touched so many lives, even at the age, just in those 10 years, including Carson Wentz as well. I don't know if this video might come up. If not, it's the next slide.
Get to live his dream of being in the NFL, but he's awful close right now.
He isn't suffering anymore. He is probably up there playing football right now, doing the thing he loves.
And this was the scene Monday night.
Carson Wentz delivers a game ball to the family. It was just months after Lucas had passed away. And this next slide shows a picture of Carson Wentz with Lucas. And you can kind of see as he embraced Lucas there and just had a chance to be together, even at 10, Lucas was an inspiration for Carson, and today Carson says that he wears a bracelet in honor of Lucas's battle each and every game. What an incredible testimony. This next story of hope is about a dog who was in an animal shelter. And this dog, here we have a picture of this dog being rescued after 500 days. 500 days in this animal shelter. This dog then had a chance to be united with a new family this Christmas, just days before Christmas. What a story of hope. If we can see the video, and I'll encourage you to look later, look it up. It's going viral. Here he is walking down, and they're all clapping the dog out of the shelter. Other dogs go home with families and waiting for its own turn some moms and dads. Maybe visit a shelter this afternoon. I'm teasing, of course, but the life and the hope that this new beginning has, right? We celebrate that. Even in the midst of maybe there were some dark nights for that animal. 5 years old, has a new lease on life. This gentleman, John, he's a musician, a magician, rather. John's had a hard life. You see, John, at the age of 12, I learned that he lost his mom and his dad about the same time. He became an orphan in Seattle. He went and found a way to figure it out. He was in many different homes, foster homes. He ended up dove into learning how to do card tricks and tried to become an entertainer and also a very good athlete. Had a 12 to 14 year stint as a long snapper, and you might have guessed the name, the team's name, the Philadelphia Eagles, once again. But he was quite a gift. And then in 2015, again, had to dust himself off and pick himself up because he had a divorce in his life, and it broke his heart. And then in 2017, it was also hard again because he found out through a trade to the New Orleans Saints, through the physical, that he had a really difficult heart disorder. And one that was not diagnosed, but one that he needed surgery right away. And so sure enough, through his journey, he's realized that it hasn't been the perfect roadmap, but time and time again, even in the darkest times, he writes that there were lessons of love, forgiveness, and perspective. And he's wrote a book on this whole journey of his life called Life is Magic. Life is Magic. I'm going to turn to the next story of hope, and that has to do with a man sitting in a pile of garbage on a beach. And here he is, and it says, "It's not my garbage." But then the next picture says, "But it's my plant." What a moving, moving image for me. I've heard, you've heard, maybe at home, moms, dads, maybe even grandparents, I didn't make the mess. I didn't do it. I wasn't the one that was cooking. I wasn't the one eating that particular snack. Well, yeah. Maybe you weren't, but it's still our house, right? Well, I didn't get that person in that predicament that they find themselves in, so why should I help? Or I it's not my fault that they're in this struggle with addiction, or they're homeless, or they're in need of this or that. It's not my fault. Well, guess what? We're all part of one humanity, are we not? We're all part of the earth in this particular image. I'm sure this man didn't have anything to do with any of the litter on the beach yet. He took initiative and he gathered and he was choosing to be the light versus the dark, wasn't he? He was choosing to allow the illumination to do its work and to find a way to take some responsibility. What a message of hope this brings to all of us if we could only find our way towards doing more of this in our own lives. I want to jump to the next story of hope, a new beginning. Nehemiah 10 says it this way, our lives are full of new beginnings. And I sat with a parishioner just recently and learned of how a very difficult, dark time that they found themselves in for their lives. And it was a real challenge until they're finally changing some things in their lives and they're finally getting themselves back on their feet. And he said, Pastor Don, it's like I have a new lease on life. I have a new beginning, a new hope. They said, it's like life has now, even the little things, have become like magical to me again. There's an awakening within their soul in that deep, deep, good place. And I celebrate that feeling for them, and I hope it for all of us. You see, the next slide says that life has both light and darkness. and it's true. And we have an incredible way. It's called the faith in Jesus Christ that helps us through it all. That these dark times don't want to, in fact, they're there for their own reason and purpose. In fact, we need to remember that the light will always come. The darkness will grow us, will shape us, will provide us with character, resilience, because we have an incredible faith that will get us through the brightness yet again. The next slide says there's a story of a mom and her son at bedtime. The story goes like this. It says, "Mom, I'm afraid of the dark. I can't see," the 5-year-old boy says. Mom, hugging her son in comfort, replies, "You'll be okay, son. Soon the darkness will turn into light." Let me say that again. Soon the darkness will turn to the light, and it always does. It continues on. It says, "In the meantime, I'll turn this lamp right next to you. When you get scared, look at the lamp and think of the light. Because before you know it, in the morning, there will be an overflowing abundance of light. Wait for the light, son. It will come soon. It will be here." The light always overcomes the darkness, and the light of the world has come here, and we're reminded of this light at Christmas time. And I am here to stand before you to tell you that your future is going to be incredibly bright. Incredibly bright. I can't promise you that there won't be dark times. I can't promise you that there won't be great times. I can't promise you that you won't have to walk through some valleys. But I can promise you that the light always comes. The light always comes. This next slide reminds us that not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. And so sometimes we have to wait for the light because it's coming. And at times in the waiting, we can feel a bit alone and incomplete. We can feel as if, quite frankly, we need more light. Sometimes in the winter we feel like this, don't we? Especially when it's darker more than it is lighter. But in this midst of in the darkness and the waiting, God is there with us. This next slide says there will be complete darkness before there's light. There will be absolute pain before there's praise. There will be downs before and after the ups. But you have to expect the blessings, claim the peace, give a praise, weather the storm, and know that it will work in your favor. And yet, in this darkness where God invites us, sometimes maybe to dream with our eyes open, the morning light is to come, and it will illuminate our every path. This next slide reminds us that sometimes we just need to take a deep breath. It's just a bad day. It's not a bad life. It's just a bad moment. It's not a bad forever. It's true. We're going to turn to this next slide that focuses in on the piece of scripture that I hope you'll hold dear to your heart if you don't already in 2020. You see, this scripture is the scripture that got me through the year 1992. In 1992, I learned that we were moving as a family to a completely new place, from Central Texas to Hackettstown, New Jersey. Those are two different worlds. I know they're in the same country, but it's a different place. And when you're a sophomore, going to sophomore in high school, this is a complete new world altogether. And I had to lean in on that faith in a powerful way. And wouldn't you know, I think I shared it here before, but I sat in this pew. My parents brought us right here in this very sanctuary as we were, before we even see the new house and the new community, we sat in one of these pews. I can't tell you where it was exactly, but we were in this very space on a Sunday morning before we went to see the new neighborhood. And it was the scripture that was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. To trust in your Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and God will make your path straight. God will do it. God gets us through those difficult, challenging times. I remember later on, 1998, fast forward 6 years, I was in Siberia, and it was the same scripture in a foreign land, in a foreign place, and a lot of darkness, to be honest. There was a lot of depression. The area was depressed for all kinds of reasons. And I was there as a missionary to bring hope and love of Christ, to be bringing a little bit of light of Christmas to this space. I didn't know the language. I didn't have any friends there. I went with complete strangers from Seattle, Washington, whom I gathered and met for just days before we left. And it was there that I would lean in on the scripture day in, hour by hour, trusting in the Lord with all my heart, leaning not on my understanding and all my ways, acknowledging God, and God will make our path straight, making a bridge to the next place of light. You see, when we trust in the light of the world, when we allow the light of the world to really work in our lives and claim that even in those deep, dark places within our souls and our bodies, there is great hope, but not just for us. You see, when we do this, we actually can be hope for others. What an incredible gift, this gift of Christmas, the next slide. It reminds us that the light of the world brought hope, and the light of the world continues to bring hope. And guess what that hope and how that hope is delivered? It's delivered by you. As you reflect the light of Christ, this hope is delivered by each and every one of you. You play a part in bringing hope into the world. At school, at work, at home, in this very community, to folks you know and to people who are complete strangers, you are the ambassadors of the light, and as you do so, you bring hope. This next slide. The future is bright and beautiful. Know this to be true. The future is bright and beautiful because Christ, the light of the world, came to be with us. I don't know if this next slide made it, Carlos. I think I had another version. Is there the Midnight Run slide in here? Yeah, hang on. So I'm going to just tell you about it. So as I'm putting the sermon together, the final touches, I received a message from Nancy DeWitt, and she says, "Wouldn't you know, this breakfast run was awesome." And I said, "Oh, cool." She's like, "Please share with everybody on Saturday night and Sunday morning." We had a blast with 90 new friends. They gave out to 90 people food and clothing, and they emptied all that almost they had. That's why they ate more for the tent. But even in the midst of this time, we had ambassadors being luminaries all without the community and the surrounding areas. And this Midnight Run went into New York City, and they were the hope. Just yesterday morning, they were providing and being reflections of the light of Christ. So let's all get busy and know that we need to get some jeans and sweatshirts and sweatpants and warm shirts, jackets, hoodies, whatever we can, because there's more to do. This slide up here now says that God's hands, those who leave everything in God's hands, eventually see God's hands in everything. I'll say it one more time. Those who leave everything in God's hands eventually see God's hands in everything. Amen? And in 2020, as we go forth into our own places, we have each other. But may we not forget that we have an incredible light that wants to help us and shine through us to others, so that others would know of the light that has come for them. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive. It is in the pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in the dying that we are born to eternal life. Jesus, we thank you for coming down to be with us, even in all the challenges and the mess that we continue to get ourselves into. You continue to be the light. Thank you for guiding our paths. Thank you for continuing to heal us from sickness and challenges, even addictions. Thank you for walking with us when it's dark. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you remind us as we celebrate your birthday again. Coming to be with us, love coming down Christmas time. There is no greater good. And God, we center ourselves now on the words that you brought to us as your people to pray back to you. And so together we say them now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to share an item of good news as the band goes to take their spots here and transition back over. We had a wonderful, wonderful good led up by Joanne Ebrock and many others with this Crafting for Miracles. And some of the items, just honestly, we couldn't sell them every week after week after week, and so we had a few leftovers. And what a wonderful thing it was that we had an opportunity to give them and put them to good use. Sharon Townsend, Kate Tilson, members of our mission ministry team, took the items over to the nearby Hovering Home and Hoving Home, and they have a home there, and we've had some of them come and sing for us and at worship, and it's a Christian drug and alcohol rehabilitation home. There are currently 26 women in the program, and that's not including the interns and the staff. And Kay and Sharon took 18 scarves and 36 dinner hats and 27 pieces of homemade jewelry. And they also were able to present this home with a check from our missions team here at the church for $3,000. This gift will assist the overall program and its ministry, and certainly allow more hope to be spread within the community. We give God thanks. That is wonderful news. I'd also like to share in prayer as we transition ourselves from here to really hoping again as the worship team, as the worshiping body until the year 2020. So there's a Methodist, John Wesley, has a covenant prayer for us. And it's in your bulletin, and you get a chance to maybe keep that prayer handy in your kitchen or somewhere. Just say it a couple times this week, maybe even prompt here if you'd like. This is something we're going to look at now. The Wesley covenant prayer, we'll say it together. It says, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to do what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I am freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.